Turned into wine. Open the eyes of from the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand?
You're doing in this service, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You could be seated. There's something about when you have a just life, right? You're just life, but you can come into church, and whether you want to sit and just think or stand and raise your hands or clap, you could feel the presence of God. And it kind of makes other things be smaller. You think a little bit less about the other things. And it sort of makes you want to do it a little bit more than just church. There's power in God. There's power in worshiping God. This morning is an exciting morning. I love baby dedications. This is Baby Dedication Sunday at Calvary Gospel Church. It happens twice a year, and we're really excited about baby dedication. I want to give you a quick overview, especially for the families or maybe new people, first-timers here. First off, if this is your first time here, thank you for being with us today. Even if it's just to support one of the family members, thank you for being here to worship with us and to support the family that you came to support. This morning, what we're going to do is, I'll give you an overview of the service. We're going to do a little bit of an introduction of the family. So couples and children, if we'll have you stand up for when we call your name. And Pastor Roy is going to shake your hand and give you a little certificate and a Bible. It's a great Bible. I use it with my kids and for myself sometimes. That's okay. We're going to go through the dedication here in the sanctuary. We're going to have a prayer over the family. So at that time, you'll step up with your families and you'll hand your children over to the minister. That's symbolic of giving them over to God. And then they will say a prayer over them. And then Pastor Roy will close us out with a message. And then at the end, we'll have some time for you to respond or to pray or to sit silently if you'd like. Whatever makes the most sense for you after the service. But I think if you haven't been here for a Calvary Gospel Church baby dedication before, I think I need to explain something. At Calvary Gospel Church, we don't dedicate our at Calvary Gospel Church, we dedicate our children to the Lord. We do not baptize them. This is a sign that we're putting them in God's hands. And you'll see that we physically do that by putting them in the hands of a minister this morning. Much like Hannah in the Bible did when she gave her son physically to Samuel, the priest, to work in the temple once she had weaned him. Today we symbolically put our children in God's hands, and we know that he is able to keep whatever we commit to him until the day that he needs to. In the Bible, baptism, which is full submersion underwater, which is what we see everywhere in the Bible, baptism requires understanding, repentance, and belief. And as an infant cannot do these things, we do not baptize infants at this time. We strongly encourage that children are baptized when they are able to understand and repent and begin to believe in God. Plus, just baptizing something without them having understood, believed, or repented is not really accomplishing the purpose of baptism. Today, the dedication ceremony will require participation, not just from the parents, the families, but also the friends and the families and the church family, everybody here. Because raising children in a godly way is more than just parents. It's more than just two people on an island by themselves. And that's what we want to represent today in everything that we do. So with that said, we're going to have Pastor Roy come. We're going to get ready to introduce some of the couples. I think I can pronounce all these names, but I'll give it a go. So the first child that's being dedicated is Gracie Graper. And they're over on that side. That's Scott and Sierra Graper are dedicating Gracie Graper. Awesome. And then I believe there's two children being dedicated from this family, so double the blessing here. August Grant and Michael Burson Grant are both being dedicated, and their parents are Rachel Grant and Michael Burson, if you could both stand. Got some good-looking guys in the front row here. You guys are well behaved. I'm impressed. The third child being dedicated is Asa McKnight, and the parents are Walter and Christina McKnight. And the last child, last but not least, this morning that's getting dedicated is Jackson Creighton, and Melissa Creighton Moran is dedicating Jackson. Now, it should go without saying that this is a dedication service. There are babies and children. So maybe other times in other services, maybe at this church, maybe other churches, it's easy to be like, whose kid was that? That's normal. It's okay. A little kid makes a little noise. We can all still hear from Pastor Roy. I think he can still preach if somebody cries. I think we're okay. So show a little extra grace today. So dedication is the time for parents to commit their children back to Jesus, realizing we're only stewards of his blessings in our lives. We're committing to raising our children in the ways of Christ and dedicating ourselves to this task. It's not just, here you go, God, here's my kid, but it's, God, I want to dedicate myself this morning. I want to try to commit to doing the right thing by my children. To all the parents and the family and the extended family and the friends that are represented here today, and even the church family, let this child that is being dedicated be a reminder that we're all in much need of God's love and his presence in our lives. When this child runs into your arms, let it be a reminder that we can always run into the arms of Jesus, where we'll be surrounded by his presence. And the things of this world will grow smaller because of his love. Dads, I'm not the one speaking this morning, but you're going to get a couple thoughts from me. From the very moment there was a dad on this earth, he screwed up. Right? And God said, you're going to have to work hard now. You don't just get to live a lap of luxury in the garden. You got to actually work hard. And so, men, I want to tell you, dads, that it's more work now. It really is. The Bible says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, and when I became a man, I put away childish things. And what you will find, men, is every single added responsibility to your life probably means something else has kind of fallen back. And so maybe that's discouraging. It's not meant to be. It's more meant to just help shift your mindset a little bit. It also says that, men, you're to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Maybe not running in front of a bus, right? But maybe given his desires and his passions and the things. Some of the things that are like, well, this is really important to me. Yeah, well, you got a kid now. You got a wife now. These are more to do. And so, men, my challenge to you is that, well, I'll tell you right now, it's going to be work. My challenge to you is accept the work. God made you in a unique way, fathers, that you can take on work. It's not going to always be easy, so don't think it is. But take on the work. Be selfless. That's what God's commanded of us. And your children will see that, and they will respond accordingly. Moms, I truly believe that God has put something in your heart. Just like men and fathers, God has made us we'll work. Like, we can do that. It's in our brain. And mothers, you can work too, but I think God has put this unique nurturing ability in your mind that shows you how to raise your children. But the problem is there's so many voices in the world today. Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and blogs and podcasts and all these things are telling you and they're showing you this perfect life, moms. I would encourage you to listen to his voice this morning. Listen to the right voice of God in your life. That's the challenge for you, moms, is to trust what God's word is saying and what you're hearing from him above what you're seeing in the world. The perfect Instagram, the perfect Facebook, the perfect YouTube videos. Listen to what God says, what he says about you. And then trust what's in your heart, what you feel is right to do for your children because you are hearing from him. Parents, you're the example your children see more than any other. You create the normal. You create the normal that we begin to shape who they are and what they believe. Everything you are showing them or doing for them is creating a framework. So to that, I say, set the example in your marriage, in your responsibilities, in your walk with God. Parents, they are learning from you whether you are teaching them or not. They are learning from you. Show them how to live. Parents, if you are the parents of the children, if you could stand and bring the children that you are dedicating forward, and if the ministers could come with you, we'll have the ministers stand right here in the front and then face backwards. So Brother Ben will stand here, and Brother Seidel here, Brother Ebga, and Brother Jerry. And then parents, if you could bring the children you're dedicating, or they can walk themselves, some of them that are older, that's okay. We're going to have you stand right in front of the ministers. Okay, so now we're creating a little circle here, right? And if you're comfortable with it, now I'd like the family and friends that were here to support them to kind of work your way around these families. And you can keep holding on to your children for now. We'll pass them to the minister in just a minute. Sometimes a little bit of crying that happens, so we kind of wait till the last minute. So parents, you stand in front of the minister, family and friends gather around them. Now I'm going to ask you some questions. First, I'm going to ask the parents. Okay, then I'm going to ask the church family. So I'd like the church family to stand during this part. We're all part of this morning. And parents, if it is your intention to pledge as such, you just say, we do. This is for the parents, okay? Parents, do you now present your child before God in solemn dedication? We or I do, whatever you. Minister, do you consecrate yourselves as parents to raise up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do you promise to instruct this child in the teachings of Jesus and in the practice of prayer and to guide them in the development of Christ-like character? Do you promise to try to the best of your ability to shape the home life of this child, both by family devotions and by your words and your example, that they themselves will grow in personal relationship with Jesus and will pursue the biblical experience of salvation through repentance, baptism, and being filled with the Holy Ghost? Church family, if you accept this charge, and this is also the family and friends around the group here, and the parents too, but church family, you're standing, if you could accept this charge, you would say, we will. Will you do all that you can provide and support to provide and support a place of instruction and community where this child and these parents may hear godly wisdom? Will you covenant together as a family to set an example by your lives and to maintain an atmosphere which will inspire these children to desire to live for God? Will you do as God leads you and pray for these families? Now, families, if it's your intention to dedicate or commit your children this morning, I would ask you to present your child or children in front of the minister. If you're willing, you can have them. They can hold them or be near them. Some of them are a little bit bigger, so awesome job. Pastor Jerry's got to figure it out here. And so what I'd ask you to do is this. If you're comfortable with it, I think we're all kind of moving on with this COVID thing. So if you're comfortable with it, let's reach forward with our hands and put your hands on the parents or the person in front of you. We're going to do this and reach forward because this is what they did in the Bible. They laid hands on them. And we're going to pray for four different aspects here. We're going to pray for the child. We're going to pray for the parents and the family and friends. And we're going to pray for the church family, okay? So let's pray this morning. Thank you, God, for this service, God. Thank you for what you've done in every one of these lives, God, that has brought them to this moment, God. God, I know you're speaking into the hearts and minds of everybody here. God, I pray right now specifically for this child. God, we commit, these parents commit this child to you. And God, they dedicate it to you this morning, God. God, we pray, Lord, that you would protect this child. That you would be with this child. That you would remind this child. That you would that they would hear your voice in a clearer way, God, than they would have, God. God, we pray that you would be with them throughout their entire life, protecting them and being with them and speaking into their lives, God, with your voice and your word. God, we pray for these parents this morning. We pray, Lord, that they would understand the seriousness of what they're doing today, Lord. Lord, that they would commit to you, God. Not just commit their child to you, which is so important, God, but they would commit to serving you this morning, God. Lord, that they would remember this service, God. Lord, this message from Pastor Roy. Lord, this dedication. Lord, as they bring their children forward, as they raise them up. God, we pray for the family and the friends that are here to support these children, God. Lord, let this service be a reminder, God, of how much you love them. And how much you love these children, God. I pray, Lord, that in the moments, God, where these children need somebody to talk to, they need somebody to lean on, that this family and friends would be there, that they would be a support, both in prayer and in emotional and mental and spiritual and helpful support, God. God, and lastly, we pray for this congregation, God. We pray that you would help them, Lord, to pray for and be with every family and every child in this dedication. And God, of everything we do today, we give you the glory for what you are going to do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You can hand the children back. As much as you've promised before God and everybody here to dedicate your child to God and yourselves to the task of raising them for Christ, I charge you to address yourselves faithfully to this sacred obligation with wisdom and patience and devotion. God is always there to help you. When things don't make sense, when it's you're struggling, reach out to God. He will respond. May God bless you in all of your efforts. You can find your way back to your seat. Thank you. As they're finding their way back, I would be wrong if I didn't mention that I was walking past this door this morning, and I saw our bishop, Bishop John Grant, here this morning. It's always great to have you, Bishop. We love you, brother. It was a couple baby dedications ago, and I think Bishop was sitting up here, and then I got down, and because I do a lot of the baby dedications, and I was walking past, and he made some smart comment about how he dedicated me, and that was funny, kind of full circle. But I've also remembered the times where you've talked about Bishop, where you've helped somebody come into God, and you've dedicated their children and their children and their weddings, and so you leave such a lasting mark on so many of us. And so thank you for what you've done in my life. Honor for you. And so we're really benefited this morning, really blessed, because Pastor Roy, I asked him, I called him, I said, do you want to speak to Baby Tashke? He's like, yes. He didn't even let me finish. He was super excited. He's like, yes, I want to. So we're super excited. Let's give Pastor Roy a big hand clap as he comes to minister to us.
Praise the Lord, church. It's so good to be here on this baby dedication day. And just so want to thank all the parents and welcome all the family. And it's such so good to see you all today. And also we have Sister Terry Seidel. It's her birthday today. Can you believe that? Thank you, Sister Terry. God bless you. We have known, it's real funny, John and Terry, and my wife and I, we've kind of lived very similar parallel paths in life. And we used to all live, and we had a little tiny duplex over in the east side of Madison. And we were newlyweds, and they were newlyweds. And our children, we had our kids about the same time, and we worked a few places, the same places, and here we are. Later in life, God brought us all back together, and here we are working here at Calvary Gospel Church on the pastoral team, and it's just been a great journey. And happy birthday to you today. And we're going to be talking here just for a few minutes. This will not be a long message, but I just want to challenge not just our families, but I want to challenge each and every one of us as individuals. As Pastor Peter said, no man is an island unto himself. We don't have to take, when we raise our children and such, it takes a lot of people in our lives that are around us to assist us in this task. Now, my father's here today, and Brother Peter made reference to Bishop. And we have a very different relationship than most of you have. And I remember my father, he took me to a general conference years ago, and he was so proud to take me along with him. And I got to meet Brother and Sister Mangan, some real pioneers in the faith, powerful people in our apostolic faith. And I got to meet Brother Billy Cole, and introduced me to Brother Billy Cole. And we were on an elevator going up to our room, and Brother Becton, which I believe he was perhaps the general secretary of our organization at the time, gets on the elevator, and my dad introduces me to Brother Becton, and Brother Becton looks at me and says, "Young man, I hope you realize and understand what kind of father you have." And I don't know what I was thinking. You ever have one of those moments? I remember when my brother John was real little, he was going to be a preacher. Johnny, what you going to do when you grow up? Going to be a preacher. So every time Dad would ask him, Johnny would say, "I'm going to be a preacher." So Dad has Johnny in, and he's got a bunch of his pastoral friends around, and he's like, "Johnny, what do you want to be when you grow up? Tell these brothers what you want to be." And he's like, "I want to be a baseball player." It was one of those moments. Brother Becton says, "Son, I hope you realize what kind of father you have." I said, "I absolutely do, Brother Becton. This man spanked me almost every day of my life." He calls it the rod of correction, or I called it a whooping, a beating. You know how that was? They called it building character. Go build your character somewhere else, was my thoughts. But nevertheless, I have had a lot of character applied to the backside of my britches over the years. And that's what we're going to be talking about here this morning for a few minutes. We're going to talk about building character. The missing ingredient. I love to cook. I went to, when I was in high school, I took actually, started in junior high, I was first able to take home ec in 7th grade, so I took home ec in 7th grade, 8th grade, and then 9th, 10th, and 11th grade. I took home ec, and I learned how to cook. I learned how to sew. I actually made the first apron I ever wore, I made myself, and I was so proud of that. And one thing I learned in home ec, and one thing that a lot of you ladies and guys that like to cook, that everything that you cook, you have ingredients too, don't you? You have to take and you get your ingredients together, whether you're baking some bread or making a pie or whatever. Now, I wasn't a big baker. I love to make pies. I could make a really good lemon meringue pie with that meringue on top, and you would heat it up and get it nice and brown, and you get those little curls on all of that. How many of you like lemon meringue pie? Oh, I love lemon meringue pie, and I made it with a handmade crushed graham cracker crust that you had to make, and I loved that. But my favorite thing was firing up the grill, putting that charcoal on it, a little lighter fluid, and getting out my grilling utensils and grilling a good big old thick slab of meat on the grill. Now, last night, Brother Marvin had a number of men down to his shop, and we were all able to take and bring down our own steaks and being able to grill them. And I brought a little cast iron skillet, and I mixed together some spices, and I had a little filet that had been left over from a previous meal that didn't get consumed. It was in the freezer, and I put some butter in that skillet, and I let that butter melt, and I mixed in all of my herbs and spices, and I put that steak down inside that butter. I had some onions. I had some mushrooms. I had some sliced red peppers and mixed that all in, and I sat there while the men gathered around me with the saliva dripping off of their chins as they were eating chicken wings. I was biting into a filet wrapped in bacon, simmering in a cast iron skillet. And it was delicious. It was more than delicious. It was wonderful. I love grilling. Now, I didn't start out this way. I remember my first grilling experience. We had a man from the church. He had a little bit of an influence on me when it came to grilling. And I would invite him, and we were young couples. They would come over for dinner on Friday nights and Saturdays. And I would go to Woodman's, and I would buy that flat round steak. And that was a real thin, but it didn't have any fat in it, because I thought that fat was really bad when it come to grilling, and I didn't like, and everything, Brother Millen, had to be grilled well done. That was the only thing I knew. I didn't know that steaks, if you cook it medium rare, it's phenomenally flavored, and if it moves a little bit, it's not a bad thing. And I learned that if you cook prime rib well done, you might as well just have a rump roast. So I'm learning how all of this goes. But one thing that I would invite him over, and finally after 3 or 4 weeks of them coming over, he finally looked at me and says, I'm going to cook next time. And I'm going to bring the steaks next time. And I said, well, is something wrong with my grilling? He's like, well, I'm not a big fond fan of round steak. And I don't like my steak well done. And you don't put any spices on it. The only thing worse than round steak well done on a grill is when you don't put any lari salt or anything like that on it. How many have ever had a steak without any seasoning? Some people like them that way, but I found that there's a missing ingredient when it comes, if you want to cook a steak and you want to cook it well and you want to be perfect, you got to have some good old crushed sea salt. That Himalayan pink salt is phenomenal on a ribeye or something like that. Now, we're going to all go out and have lunch after this. Everybody's going to go to Texas Roadhouse because they're going to get a steak when they're done here. What makes that so delicious is because there's an ingredient. Salt is an ingredient that is almost you have to have if you want a good, well-flavored piece of meat. So when I look at life, there's all kinds of ingredients in life, isn't there? We have to have all kinds of things put together to make life happen, especially when it comes to raising children. You can say, well, love is important. That's an important ingredient, but it's not the only ingredient. So we're going to introduce today a missing ingredient that I feel is very, very critical, but it's an ingredient that is missing when it comes to not just raising children today, but a missing ingredient in what I would call society as a whole. And that missing ingredient is called character. So we're going to talk about the missing ingredient, character. I often listen to parents as they talk about the dreams and goals that they have for their children, and today many parents are vitally, they're concerned with the education that the kids receive, and they're concerned about the skills that they develop. They spend hours and hours of time shuttling their children back and forth between karate and soccer and music and all of these different lessons and things and extracurricular activities that they want their children to be involved in. And there's nothing wrong with teaching your children how to play an instrument or to have some sort of a sport or to teach them to fish or whatever it may be. But I find that when we look at life today and we look at children today and we look at society today, we have a working world with, and we want to establish successful and lucrative careers, but there's one thing that seems to be missing in our plans, and that missing ingredient, as I said, is character development. You see, character development, as important as it is to teach your children to love one another and to love your enemies as yourself, but it's one thing that with character development is literally a building block that your child can use for their entire life. It's a foundational building block. It's one of those building blocks that we want to take and build our lives upon. Too many parents are more concerned with IQ intelligence than with CQ or character development in the lives of their children. And in the end, it is your child's character that will provide the foundation for their lives. It will not be the skills on a playing field or in a degree. I believe that the leadership crisis that we are facing in our world today and in our businesses and in many of our churches can all be traced back to an issue of character. Omar Bradley, I love history, and Omar Bradley was a famous World War II general. He says, "We have grasped the mystery of the atom and rejected the Sermon on the Mount. The world has achieved brilliance without conscience. Ours is a world of nuclear giants and ethical infants." Very powerful, powerful statement. This was made 50 plus years ago, but we must realize as individuals, we must realize here today as parents that we have a lot of power and a lot of influence over our children. Would you help raise children with godly character, children who will follow after the principles? Pastor Seidel spoke in our first session about the principles, about the Word of God, about establishing the Word of God, the authority in the Word of God. If we want to take and raise children of character and integrity, then we must put character and integrity into them. It's the only way it's going to work. You are helping shape the world. We don't always look at that as parents, but that's the bottom line, is that parents today with little children are helping shape the world for the next generation. And building character into a child means building patterns of behavior to respond properly to authority and to life circumstances. We have a problem some days with authority. I don't always agree with authority. I think it was John Mellencamp, wasn't it, wrote the song, "I Fight Authority and Authority Always Wins." Brother Seidel spoke of his issues that he had with the state of Wisconsin when it comes to going too fast on our highways this morning. I remember a similar situation in my own life. I was 1 point in the hole. We had 12 points. I don't know if they still do it that way or not, but I was 1 point in the hole, and I got pulled over on Sprecher Road for going far too fast, and I ended up before a judge, and the judge gave me 1 point back and said, "You better take care of this because it's all you got." And my job depended upon me being able to drive. I took care of that point, and I nursed it, and it became 12 full points, And from that day on, I have yet, now knock on wood, I use my cruise control religiously. I don't plan on getting any more speeding tickets, but it may happen. It may not happen. I'm hoping it doesn't. Authority. So here we're reading 1 Timothy 1:5 tells us, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. You see, responding to authority is important because we're all under some level of authority. Children, I hate to tell you, but you're under authority at home with your mom and your dad. We had authority in our home. My brother Steve was the youngest, so he was at the bottom of that totem pole. And we would boss our, you know, siblings are that way. You're going to boss them around. Steve was at the bottom, then I was in the middle, and then Johnny was, and then it was mom, and then it was dad. We have authority in our homes. We have authority, whether you know it or not, moms and dads. As your kids grow up, there's a pecking order of kids in the block. We had a pecking order in our block. There were families that whatever they wanted to do and whatever their kids did, they got away with. We got caught for everything. Our dad was the only dad on the block that actually spanked his children. Everybody else got away with it. We got all the neighborhood spankings. Bishop really wasn't that bad. We deserved almost literally. We would line up Sunday going home after church. We just knew it. Today was a bad day for us grandkids. We'd go home. We'd just line up ceremoniously. We'll take it. We deserved it. But you're always under authority. If you're at work, you have your supervisors. Maybe you answer directly to your boss. We have police. We're instructed to obey the laws of the land. Yet the greatest of these authorities should be the authority of Jesus Christ in our life. But unfortunately, he is one of those authorities that most of us somewhat we will ignore. So as a child, we must learn to submit. We must teach our children to submit to authorities in areas of their lives. We must also be taught that God is an important, critical ingredient in every area of our lives. A proper response to life circumstances means showing your children how to walk with God. And you can't show them how to walk with God. You can't teach them the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, no matter what they face, if you yourself don't have those ingredients in your life. See, this is where everything becomes complicated. You can't teach your children character if you struggle with character yourself. You can't teach your children to be honest. You can't teach your children to be faithful if you have those areas within your life that you are struggling with. So parenting, yes, it is a big deal. It's a very big deal. Character. Let me tell you, this character is what will help you keep your children within their budget. As they grow older, as an adult, you will teach them principles. Character is what will lead him to turn to God in the time of hardship and pain. Character is what will help him pursue a mate to resolve whatever major conflict that they may be having in a loving manner. Character is what will enable him to make that extra phone call or work that extra hour on his job to do that which is right. Character is what will direct him in times of material prosperity and in financial crisis. It's character. It's our character that is a main ingredient that will help propel us through our life. And developing character can only happen if we as parents do a few things, but we must do them consistently and we must do them well. You see, it doesn't just happen when you look at character. Our children grow older from little infants into teenage years, and all of a sudden we rediscover, but they discover what hormones are all about. Character doesn't just happen like hormones. It doesn't just automatically. It's part of their DNA. Parents, we must make a commitment to be involved in the teaching your children character through personal examples. And this means actively teaching the Word of God. Now, we gave all of you parents this morning just a very simple Bible. It's a children's Bible. It's not the same Bible that I have up here. It's not written at the same level. But it's written at a level that they will understand. And I want to encourage you, before your children go to bed at night, take and begin to read to them. Because what you're doing, whether you realize it or not, even at young ages, you're establishing boundaries in the lives of your children. Boundaries, teaching them to make the right choices and correcting them with love when they make mistakes. It means continually showing them how to treat others with the love of Jesus Christ, how to communicate, how to forgive, and how to encourage. It also means contrasting what the world says versus what the Bible teaches. What the world says and where the world is going is very, as Bishop has said this statement many times, diametrically opposes what is in the Word of God. But I want my children, I want my grandchildren to be children of character. I want them to grow up. I would rather them have strong character than be a good football player. What your kids see you do. This is so very, very critical that we understand this. What your kids see you do as they grow up is what you'll likely see them do when they're grown up. Parents, grandparents, yes, we are still in this. We are still involved in this. That's why as we had the couples come with the children, we had the families gather in, because your grandchildren need to see modeled character. They need to see a mom and a dad who have a visible love for each other. They need to see that visible love for family and close friends. They need to see truth and honesty and integrity in action. They know that their love for them is not based on their performances. So much in life today, love is based, so much is based on performance, how well you do. Do your children know that you love them regardless? Do they have healthy examples of problem-solving and conflict resolution skills? Do they have healthy examples and such of character being taught? Do you appreciate and promote their uniqueness? Every child is different. I look at my two brothers, and we're all very, very different, yet we have the same parents. We grew up in the same home, but we made different choices. We made different decisions in life. Do you model and encourage a healthy experience and expressions of emotions? You say, why are these things so important? Because they are the core skills our children need to become healthy individuals and to develop healthy relationships. I'm afraid today for some of our kids, because it seems like we're losing, because of social media, and I'm not going to get on a social media rant here this morning, but I will just tell you I hate it. All right? I'll tell you why I hate it, because it takes away the personal skills that we need to develop when we talk to someone one-on-one. If I got a conflict with somebody, I need to go to that person and I need to discuss it with them and I need to work that out. Now we just get on social media, don't we? We just say anything we want to say and we just beat up anybody we want to beat up. And that's my rant. It's over. But nevertheless, children need to have that individual time to develop healthy relationships. They develop relationships with their mouths and their minds, not with their thumbs. Okay? Children discover their value in the mirror of those around them by how much they are looked at, listened to, and touched by what their parents say to them and about them in front of others. The greatest gift that you can give to your child is who you are. The lifestyle of our children see us modeled daily is much more powerful than what we tell them. Children observe and they watch. I watch these little children when it's worship time, the real little ones, they come down here and they're just, I watched little Malachi and he come down here and he would be with his dad and his mom, and he looks around, and he's just standing down here, and he's kind of looking like this, and then he starts clapping, and he starts putting his hands up. What's he doing? He's watching. He's making observation, and he's responding to that observation. Understand today, great marriages and godly marriages and godly families are possible, but they don't just happen. Godly relationships take time, they take effort, they take energy, they take intentional focus. And when it comes to building strong and healthy relationships, it's easier said than done. Many of us will suffer from the tyranny of good intentions. We mean to do well. We want to take time, but somehow we allow other things to crowd it out. We become numbed by our busyness. Some have said that life is what happens while we're getting ready for tomorrow. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus said that the person who is faithful in the little things will be faithful in the bigger things. So I want to challenge you this morning as we stand to our feet. Character is the missing ingredient. You can teach your children all kinds of things in life. But I just want to challenge you today, parents. Teach your children character. Teach them integrity. These are things that will stick with them and be a building block and a foundation for their life. But we have to understand. You may be here this morning, perhaps, and I'm not just talking to the parents today or to the families, but you may be here this morning and you may say, well, you know, Pastor, I've struggled with some of these things my whole life. Never had anyone to teach me. I never had a father. I have a very, very good friend that we used to spend a lot of time together, and after a while, life just kind of has its way, and we've kind of, I want to say, gone our separate ways, but we don't see each other as much as we used to. And I remember a conversation that he had with me one day. He was talking about struggling in his marriage. He said, you know, Roy, he says, I've never one time ever has my father or my mother, have I ever heard them say they loved each other. Never heard them say that. He said, I've never, ever had my mother tell me that she loved me. And I've never heard my father tell me he loved me. And I've never been hugged by my mother or my father. He was in his 30s. He knew a lot of things. He knew how to do a lot of things. He was very talented. His family was very talented. But there's something that was missing. And it began to affect him. So things that we do, decisions that we make, how we grow ourselves has a lasting effect on how our children grow. If we don't ever tell them that you love them, if you don't ever put your arm around your children and commend them for doing a good job, you can correct your children in love. They learn through a process of teaching. you're going to be a good teacher, you have to love what you do. So I just want to take here as we close out this service. We have an altar up front here. Perhaps there are things, something in your life. Maybe you're struggling in character. Maybe you desire to have a better character, a stronger character. Maybe there's other areas of your life that you've never been able to quite. We have a lot more ingredients than just character. Maybe you have a problem with being honest about things. I don't know. Maybe you have a problem with attitude. Oh, yeah. I struggle with attitude. Just force me to read the news or listen to the news through one news cycle, and I will have an attitude. But you see, that attitude, you have to be careful, because usually there's something else that drives the attitude. What is it? Only you know. I can't answer that question for you here this morning. So as our worship team begins to sing, I just want to challenge the families that are here to dedicate their children. Spend a few minutes in prayer. Say, Lord, give us the character. Help us teach our children right from wrong. You know, right's always right, wrong's always wrong. Doesn't matter how society defines it. So as we open up this altar this morning, maybe you choose not to come and pray. That's fine.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing.
God bless you today.
And worthy of all the praise we could ever pray.
praying this morning, but I just want to thank all of the families. And each one of you has a host pastor. If you'd like some pictures and such, at the conclusion of the service, you can connect with your host pastor and they can take care of that for you. But we just want to thank you so very much for coming out today. God bless you all. And parenting, it's not over in a night. I love it when my daughter calls me and says, "Hey, Dad, can you come help me?" You're never done being a parent. And that's the awesome thing about it. God bless you so very much. And you have a very blessed day. And thank you to our worship team. Great job this morning. Thank you. God bless.